Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio on the internet at ktym.com. Well, a little ominous-type music there at the beginning of our program. Thanks again for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio. You know, there's an ominous mood out there with what's happening in Ukraine. And, of course, the concerns about a waking Russian bear in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. But we'll get back to that a little bit later. We've got to get to our regular programming, which includes events at St. Casimir's Parish Hall and Community Calendar. And there's a couple of things going on. First of all, June 1st, Sunday, June 1st, that's just in a few weeks, the Daughters of Lithuania, wonderful organization. They help out families and orphanages in Lithuania and even a little bit of work here in the United States. But most of their work is in Lithuania, and the LA chapter is putting on a fundraising event known as the Power of Music 2, Power of Music 2, and that's with Rudolfas Bugdinas. Now, if you've ever seen him, he's just great. You know, he takes classical music and adds a little flair to it, and he talks about the music, what it means, its emotions, and he plays with usually with a live band. Anyway, Power of Music 2 with Rudolfas Bugdinas, $50. It's all for charity for the Daughters of Lithuania. And that'll be June 1st, Sunday, Sunday at 12:30 at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. So mark it in your calendars, and you can call Vilja Kiršonis or Daiva Šuksta for reservations, and I'm going to give those phone numbers to you now, so I'm giving you a second to get a pen and paper to write it down. So that's for The Power of Music, starring Rudolfas Bugdinas, brought to you by the Daughters of Lithuania, 12:30. Sunday, June 1st. These are sell-out events usually, okay, because Rudolfas is just a great act. Great act. You will not be disappointed. Call Vilja at 310-386-1442. That's 310-386-1442. Or Daiva at 310-995-7352. That's Daiva at 310-995-7352, and make sure that you reserve a seat to see The Power of Music 2, starring Rudolfas Bugdinas, brought to you by the Daughters of Lithuania, June 1st, Sunday at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Then the following weekend, on June 8th, will be Jaunimu Švente, or otherwise roughly translated, the Youth Festival, and that's when our very own youth ensemble, Spindulys, will perform for you. A lot of dancing in traditional Lithuanian costumes, and there'll be lunch and a program, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's lighthearted. And that's June 8th, Sunday, at 12:45 in the afternoon after Sunday Mass at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. And it's going to be, again, a lot of fun. The Lithuanian youth ensemble Spindulys, brought to you by Dangola Varniene, who is the director. And you can call her if you have any questions at 818-249-7574. But this is one of those things you can just show up for, okay? But 818-249-7574. That's 818-249-7574. And the director of the youth ensemble is Dangola Varniene, and you can talk to her about it. Again, that's June 8th at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, which is the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets in the Silver Lake Los Feliz District. Last weekend, I want to thank you all who came to the Baltic American Freedom League dinner. Congressman Ed Roy showed up, and he spoke forcefully about the events in Ukraine and what the United States might do. And, you know, it was a great evening. Air conditioning was a little bit weak at St. Casimir's Parish Hall because of that heat wave we had. But you know what? Everybody rolled up their sleeves and survived. It wasn't all that bad at the end. But there was something like 250, 260 people attending. And that was great because we showed the congressman our support. The Ukrainian a Ukrainian dance ensemble performed. The delegation from the Ukrainian community also spoke a little bit. So it was a great evening, and I want to thank you all for participating. I was involved with the Baltic American Freedom League, and I solicited donations and the like, and I want to definitely acknowledge some that came in late, and one of them that came in late was Joanne Grishkornis-Williams. Thank you very much for your donation. We got it a little bit too late to acknowledge you in the program, okay? But I want to personally acknowledge you on this radio show for your generous donation to the Baltic American Freedom League, Joanne Grishkornis-Williams, who's also been very generous to Independent Lithuanian Radio and a longtime devoted listener. Thank you so much. Also, I'd like to thank Robert Novak. Robert Novak is also a loyal listener. And thank you, Robert, for your donation to Independent Lithuanian Radio, and it was nice to see you at the Baltic American Freedom League dinner. Before we take a break and get on to some news, it's Mother's Day. Last week was Mother's Day in Lithuania. In Lithuania, the first Sunday of May is always Mother's Day. Here in the United States, it's a little different, but today's our official Mother's Day. And I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and a special happy Mother's Day to my wonderful mother-in-law, Salomea. Happy Mother's Day. And if any of you are planning a trip to Lithuania, tomorrow you should expect cloudy skies with a high of 65 degrees and then a little cooling trend down to the mid-50s by Monday. And low 60s Tuesday, and then it'll begin to, it'll sort of stabilize with highs in the low 60s through the extended 10-day forecast, the evening lows in the high 40s in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. We'll be right back.
Lietuviai beslyvime mišką, pilką atvirį paukščių naktinį, sūrių gintarų lašą ištryškusį.
If you listened last week or you have been paying attention to the news, you know that the United States sent some troops to Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and Poland, and Lithuania got 150 special forces. And this came up at the Baltic American Freedom League dinner it's great that the United States, as a little show of force, sent 150 troops, but, you know, probably it'd be a good idea to station some more troops there, you know, perhaps 1,000 or 1,500 to show that NATO is serious about the defense of the Baltics. Now, of course, Article 5 says an attack on one is an attack on all. That's what Article 5 of NATO is all about. If the Russians attack, or anybody attacks a NATO country, it's considered an attack on all. And, you know, Lithuania and the Baltics have been reassured numerous times that if Putin's Russia decides to flex its muscles on the Baltic states, not now, nobody expects it now, but maybe a year from now, a year and a half from now, that we be prepared to show that we're serious, and that the United States, that NATO would provide defense, help defend the country. Of course, Lithuania's army comes first. But NATO would step right up without any hesitation and defend the Baltic states. Now, just as a side note, you know, no one is asking, and this is a sort of a personal thing for me, it's like I'm not expecting more Americans to be sent over to defend Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, for that matter. But let's keep a couple of things in mind. These 150 troops that are now in Lithuania, these special forces, I believe they are, there are over 50,000 troops in Germany, okay? So I'm talking about just moving them around a little bit to show, as a show of force. Okay, there's 50,000 troops in Germany, and the 150 that just showed up, they came from Italy, and in Italy there's just under 10,000 troops. So I don't think it would be a big deal to be able to move some of these troops, you know, let's say 1,000, into Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia. You know, of course, they have to be housed and fed, and these host countries should be able to take them in. But they're already in Europe, and with over 50,000 troops in Germany and 10,000 in Italy, I don't think it would be a big deal. But, you know, so goes it. You should pressure your congressman and your senator that these are worthwhile ideas to consider. Lithuanian military will train with U.S. allies in Black Arrow 2014 on May 12th through the 23rd, so for about 10 or 11 days. Exercise Black Arrow, this year's largest tactical field training event of the Mechanized Infantry Brigade, or the MIB, Iron Wolf of the Lithuanian Armed Forces, will take place at the Gaižiūnų training range in Rukluva. Now that's near Jonava, if you know Lithuania, in the Jonava district. It will train approximately 1,500 troops from the MIB, Iron Wolf, and other units of the Lithuanian Armed Forces, and a company of NATO ally, the United States 173rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team, airborne of the U.S. Army in Europe. The training will perform procedures of mounting for battle, tactical movement, positioning in a concentration area, protection of territory and individual objects, drill operations in a CBR-contaminated area, prepare for defense, and carry out tactical defensive actions at the training range. The units will hone C2 procedures, coordination of actions, ensuring functioning of command posts, carrying out operational planning, tactical decision-making, and perform other tasks. Now, you know, there's a lot of technical information in the news releases, but basically, you know, there will be training and field exercises and war games for 10, 11 days again. It also says here that a company-sized unit of 150 members of the Vicenza, Italy-based 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team, that's U.S. troops, was moved to Lithuania with its own equipment and weaponry required for the exercise purposes. The U.S. troops are currently based at the Duke Vaidotas Mechanized Infantry Battalion of the Mechanized Infantry Brigade Iron Wolf in Rukla. The U.S. military have engaged in ground force combat training throughout Lithuania as of May. The U.S. troops will also take part in Exercise Black Arrow, which we were just talking about. Okay, so, you know, there's a little bit of action going on, and it's good. It's a good thing. The NATO and the United States needs to show that it's serious. Meanwhile, Putin sort of stuck a thumb in the eye of everybody by visiting Crimea yesterday. Three people were killed in a gunfight, and rebels set a police station on fire in eastern Ukraine yesterday as Russian President Vladimir Putin hailed the return of Crimea to Russia in a military celebration marking victory over Nazi Germany. Tens of thousands gathered in the Crimean port of Sevastopol to hear Putin speak in his first trip to the Black Sea Peninsula since its annexation in March. Putin called Russia's incorporation of Crimea, quote, a return to the motherland and a tribute to, quote, the historical justice and the memory of our ancestors. Ukraine and members of NATO quickly condemned Putin's visit. Ukraine's foreign ministry protested Putin's appearance in Crimea as trampling on Ukraine's sovereignty and international law. Comments echoed by NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen. Quote, "We consider the Russian annexation of Crimea to be illegal, illegitimate, and we do not recognize it," Rasmussen told reporters in Tallinn, Estonia. "We still consider Crimea as Ukrainian territory, and from my knowledge of the Ukrainian authorities, have not invited Putin to visit Crimea. So from that point of view, his visit to Crimea is inappropriate." Putin didn't mention the deadly fighting that continues in eastern Ukraine in a speech before the parade, focusing on the historic importance of the victory over Nazi Germany. Pro-Russia insurgents are fighting the government in Kiev and preparing to hold a referendum on Sunday, even though Putin asked them to postpone it. At least three people were killed in a clash between government forces and rebels in the eastern Ukrainian city of Mariupol, and insurgents set fire to a police station in the Azov Sea city. Associated Press journalists saw three dead bodies near the station, including one policeman. Now, meanwhile, back in Sevastopol, Putin boarded a boat to sail past a line of Russian Black Sea Fleet ships anchored in the bay and greeted their crews before watching a flyby of 70 military aircraft. Residents flooded the city streets to watch. Putin actually went out into the crowd and shook hands with pro-Russian sympathizers. There were more victory celebrations in Moscow's Red Square. This is a big deal, okay, yesterday. Large crowds came to watch military parades. Earlier that morning, yesterday before flying over there, Putin watched as about 11,000 Russian troops proudly marched across Red Square to the tunes of marches and patriotic songs. They were followed by columns of dozens of tanks and rocket launchers as 70 combat aircraft, including giant nuclear-capable strategic bombers, roared overhead. This May 9th is a big deal in Russia. Even in Lithuania, several thousand Russian speakers took part in a commemoration for war victims and survivors at Antakalnis Cemetery in Vilnius. No incidents were recorded during the commemoration, during which many people held red carnations and wore Georgian ribbons, a historic Russian military symbol that has recently been seen as a symbol of Russian aggression, as it is being used by pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine. The ribbons were distributed at the entrance to the cemetery. During the commemoration, representatives of organizations uniting World War II veterans delivered speeches followed by cries, "Ura!" as well as Russian military and folk songs. A group of women also held banners saying no to fascism. One of them, called Olga, said she was moved by the events in Ukraine. The woman said she did not believe Russian troops are acting in Ukraine. "Why not let the people in the Kharkov region live the way they want to? My whole family lives there. There are no Russian troops there. People walk in the villages and ask grannies for money to support the right sector and self-defense units. They don't have guns." "What guns?" Olga said. Well, anyway, so Lithuania allowed this demonstration, and there were no problems at the cemetery. Now, Riga, in the meantime, banned a Russian march. The Riga City Council, following security police recommendation, banned the association Rodina, which translates to Motherland Russia, from organizing a Russian march yesterday. The security police had recommended the Riga City Council ban the Russian march, pointing out that that event would be a substantial threat to public order and would in turn lead to possible unrest. So the Latvians had decided that they don't want this show of Russian nationalism and patriotism on their streets. The Latvian security police points out that the activities of Rodina are aimed at dividing the Latvian public, creating ideological differences, as well as inciting ethnic tensions and intolerance among the population. The organization's aim is to demonstrate Russian superiority while at the same time indirectly denying Latvian nationalism and language. So, anyway, all kinds of tense situations going on. Now, you all can follow all this on the Internet and in your newspapers, you know, what's going on in Ukraine and all that. But, you know, there's little side stories that are fascinating and interesting. And, you know, here's one. Russia's President Vladimir Putin on Thursday this week signed into law a decree on additional payments, additional endowments, they say, payments to former officers who annihilated the Lithuanian partisan guerrilla movement. In other words, the Lithuanian partisan movement that fought for independence against the Bolsheviks, the Soviets. Among the persons entitled to the endowment, the decree lists, quote, various categories of servicemen who took part in combat operations to liquidate the nationalist underground movements in the territory of Ukraine, Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia between January 1, 1944 and December 31, 1951. So, you see, Putin has no shame. He's actually upping the pensions, the payouts, the endowments to people, to soldiers who fought against the resistance movements in the Baltic states this week. So, once again, Putin sticks his thumb in the eye of the West. And this is significant in the sense that, you know, he's basically telling the Baltics, Ukraine, and Belarus and all that he honors the people who murdered, shot, and deported Baltic and other freedom fighters. On the other hand, it doesn't cost him much because most of these people are very, very old and have died off. So he gets the propaganda value of doing this, and as far as the budget goes, it doesn't really cost him anything. So, you know, there you go. And meanwhile, on Monday, May 5th, Lithuania's Ministry of National Defense received a notice from the Russian Federation stating that Russia was unilaterally suspending the 2001 bilateral Lithuanian-Russian agreement on additional confidence and security-building measures. That agreement stipulated that the two countries will exchange information about their armed forces and will conduct bilateral military inspections. It was agreed to use the format of the Treaty on Conventional Armed Forces in Europe, which Lithuania does not participate in, for the exchange of information and carry out inspections under the conditions of the Vienna document. On the Russian side, the agreement applied to its forces in Kaliningrad. Remember, Lithuania is sandwiched between Belarus and Kaliningrad, where there are thousands of Russian troops. Since 2001, the exchange of information between the states has been taking place smoothly. However, the Russian Federation imposed a moratorium in 2007. It stopped providing information, though bilateral inspections continued. Anyway, Russia's officially now pulled out of this agreement. Another slap in the face to Lithuania and the Baltic states. So is there any good news coming out of Lithuania and the Baltics? Well, one little thing is, you know, Lithuania is building this LNG, liquefied natural gas terminal, off the coast where it can import natural gas, liquefied natural gas, and the United States is considering exporting it. We still haven't got there yet, but it's a consideration. And this is beginning to make Gazprom a little bit more, that's the Russian-owned state gas company that charges Lithuania the highest rates in Europe, to reconsider its rate structure. Lithuania's gas distribution and supply company, Lietuvos Dujos, or Lithuanian Gas, which holds a 40% share of the country's natural gas market, said on Thursday that it has reached a deal with Russia's gas giant Gazprom on, quote, a significant reduction in the natural gas import price. It said it would not say what the actual discount is, but a spokeswoman told news services that she cannot disclose details of the deal. Unofficial sources said the discount might amount to around 20%. Russia's Gazprom could not be reached for comment. Quote, this agreement has finalized long-running and complex negotiations between Lithuanian Gas and Gazprom. The representatives of both companies, in active cooperation with the boards of the companies and with due consideration of the interests of the shareholders and customers of Lithuanian Gas, managed to find mutually beneficial solutions that will allow the reduction of natural gas prices for customers of Lithuanian gas in the near future. The agreement lays down the basic pricing principles for the period until the expiration of long-term contracts into late 2015. Now, the Prime Minister of Lithuania, Algirdas Butkevičius, said the deal will allow lowering of gas prices for consumers. He told Baltic News Services last week that if the prices were cut, Lithuanian gas would not turn to international arbitration over the gas price. According to unofficial sources, the proposed price of gas for the last 3 years, 2013 to 2015, covered by the existing supply contract, would be $370 per 1,000 cubic meters, or about $118 lower than the current price, which was $488 per 1,000 cubic meters. Bottom line is this, ladies and gentlemen, what you need to know is that Lithuania was paying more to heat their apartments and their flats than you and I pay, okay? Than you and I pay. And you know what their salaries and wages are in Lithuania compared to what we are here, even though we're in a recession. So this is a big deal. You know, is there some sort of catch to all this, that Gazprom is suddenly lowering its prices by, you know, maybe 20-24% in its own by Russia? I don't know. But if consumers in Lithuania can get a break on this very expensive utility, you know, the heat in their apartments, it's a good thing. And Lithuania needs to go ahead with its plans for the liquefied natural gas terminal and to reconsider its recent loss of Chevron and other bidders to start drilling for shale gas along the Lithuanian-Polish border. Nothing like a little competition for Gazprom to get them to loosen up a little bit on the prices they charge. Before we sign off today, as we're running out of time, we want to congratulate Loyola in Chicago, Loyola University, Loyola of Chicago, and they won an NCAA title in men's volleyball. And a particular shout-out goes to the libero on the team, Peter Yasaitis, here of Manhattan Beach. Peter Yasaitis, congratulations. Loyola of Chicago has won the NCAA title in men's volleyball. Congratulations, Peter Yasaitis, and the whole team. This is Kęstutis Reividas once again at Independent Lithuanian Radio, KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Once again, happy Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and again to my wonderful and kind mother-in-law, Salomea. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in again next week here on KTYM. And don't forget, tell your friends and family that they can listen anywhere in the world at ktym.com. Till next week, ikipasimatimo. Bye-bye.